Can you say, welcome to Control Talk Now, your smart buildings video cast and podcast?
Yes.
So what do you do? What do you do? I mean, are you a remote receptionist or what do you do?
I'm here in Las Vegas. I'm a remote receptionist.
Excuse me. Hello? Anybody in there?
Cool.
So I could bring you home in this box and put you in my office and you could greet my customers?
Correct.
That's so cool.
Home, and you can just have a computer in your office.
Nice. Oh, cool.
Excuse me.
Excuse me. What's his name? How many different facilities do you work at one time? How many facilities can you work at one time? Well, tell me about it. Can you come out here for night and day?
So he'll patrol the area just like a security guard.
Uh-huh.
Collect a bunch of information. He has 360-degree video.
Right.
Thermal camera. You can talk to the security office directly by just pressing a button on the machine.
Cool.
Or they could broadcast a message to the area if they want.
You have to pay him a lot.
Hi, welcome to Control Talk Now for the week ending June 18th, episode 228. As you can guess, I'm not Eric Stromquist. Thank God. We have no idea where Eric is. However, I'm joined by the man, the myth, the legend, the man from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and parts unknown, Kenny Smyers.
Mark, you did that as well as Eric did. I'm very impressed. Thank you very much. Mark, we have an incredible Control Talk Now. I mean, we are in the throes of the RealCom IBCon 2017 in the hotel where it's all breaking down now. Tell me, what were your initial thoughts of this entire episode?
Well, first of all, before we get to that part, I need to send out a shout out to all the Control Talk viewers. A congratulations to Ken and Eric for receiving and being recognized for the Julie Devine Digi Award for 2017 here at IBCon. So what's your thought on winning this award and being recognized, Ken?
Well, I'll tell you what, first of all, it was a surprise. Eric and I worked hard, but we never thought that some great competition to include Ken St. Clair of Automated Buildings. So when they called our name, I was like, kind of dumbstruck because, of course, it was the one of the top honors here in the awards. And for Eric and I, it's a labor of love, and it was just a great compliment. Jim and Young and Howard Berger and Lisa Woods did such a fabulous job. And, and for this to be the icing on the cake, it was truly an honor. And thank you very much to the RealCom team.
That's great. And I think that's probably why Eric's missing. This honor, it's gone to his head, and he's already gotten a booking agent to sign on, and I hear he's going on with Jimmy Fallon and then Conan O'Brien and all this other guest host. So he's gone. So anyway, we'll figure out where Eric is a little bit later on. Also, for us, Linkspring, my day job, we also won a Digi Award for the best technology for our Genesis Edge 534. So
congratulations.
Again, we're excited about that. So couldn't be. So, as Kenny said, we're here at IBCon, and as you can see, with a lot of activity as the teardown continues. So, we've lined up a lot of good guests today. So, what we're going to do is bring the guests on one by one, and we're going to ask a lot of different questions, what they saw here at IBCon, and industry leaders, and what's going on in the industry from their perspective. So, our first guest that we are delighted to bring to Control Talk Now is Tom Takasian. He's with Murata. Tom, come on in.
Where are you, Ken?
Okay. All right, well, Tom, again, welcome to Control Talk Now. Tell us a little bit about Murata. I think our audience out there really would like to know a little bit about what you guys do, what you're all about.
Well, Murata is a large company that makes electrical components, but they got into the software space, the Murata Energy Solutions Group that I'm involved with, to be able to automate load management. The interesting thing about that is that we started shifting load using generators, and the EPA came in and did their job, right, and elevated the criteria for that, and really did a number on the market. So the opportunity to be with a large company like Murata presented itself nicely, where they came in and said, okay, your market sort of fell out from underneath of you. What do you want to be? And because we had built a platform on the Azure platform to basically give you a single pane of glass of all of your assets across any jurisdiction, highly scalable. We had essentially put the underpinnings in for an IoT platform. And so the corporation was kind enough to let us reposition ourselves with enough runway and capital to really build up the IoT platform. So for us, the opportunity that this show really proved out was the value of data and how that's moving the market forward. So it was, I think, fortunate timing on all parts for us.
Well, Thomas, in extent to that comment, what's your big takeaway? There are thousands of industry experts here, and it seems to me like you had a great show, but what's your one takeaway to take back to home base and begin anew?
The end user experiences, right? The people that have looked at data with no specific objective, but just to get insights into it, were the innovators that eventually found something.
Right.
And I think the problem with moving the industry forward in a hurry is that you're typically using some critical thinking methods and you define the problem first. Well, with big data, if you think of Moneyball, it's a perfect analogy. With big data, you essentially don't start off saying, I want you to solve for X. You're trying to accumulate as much as you can and then pull out some key insights. So LinkedIn, for example, is one of the leading innovators where they're pumping money into human capital, workplace performance, and how the building supports that. It wasn't until they culturally went to the business units and said, we don't know what this data means, but if you take a look at it with us, you know, I'm sure we'll figure it out. You know, we don't know what hit your car, mister. But if you let us work overtime, we'll fix it.
Exactly. So, you know, you talk about data. You know, one of the terms, and I was fortunate enough to be able to present in several breakout sessions while we were here, is, and I used a phrase today, that data now is more valuable than the device. Do you kind of see that from you guys' perspective?
Absolutely. If you go into it with a specific return on investment objective, I think you're missing the point. If you think of Epstein, right, Billy Beane, they had some statistician come in and say, we're not just showing you the same data and coming up with different insights. We have a completely different set of numbers. And I think that's the key piece. You're not looking for something different. You're looking for a completely new set of data. And from there, you'll come up with something that makes you more competitive. And ultimately, that converts to lease, rental space, tenant happiness, employee productivity, and you'll get the value.
So as we kind of wrap, wind down a little bit, so how do people get a hold of you? How do people, you know, reach out to Murata? Tell us.
Murata is a Japanese company, but we have two major offices in the United States. Atlanta is our headquarters, and our business unit, Murata Energy Solutions, is in Dallas, and we're on the internet at M-U-R-A-T-A. And we'd welcome any interested parties.
Awesome.
Thank you. Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Tom.
So again, I want to thank Tom from Murata for putting some insight from their perspective. So Ken, give us a little bit more your insight on, you know, what you heard, what you've seen here at IBCOM RealCom 2017.
Well, Mark, again, the RealCom team put together an extraordinary platform of information, a great keynote speaker. I mean, we heard things that were really, really attention-getting, like, you know, the twin death spirals of internal combustion engines and oil industries. I mean, really high 30,000-foot stuff, all the way down to the new cybersecurity lingo and, you know, MAD, mutual assured darkness, and the new mantra coming out of NIST of, you know, defend, protect, and respond. Mm-hmm. Treat cybersecurity like it's your own personal, you're protecting your own personal grounds. Take that attitude towards that to work and become part of the defense in depth of cybersecurity.
Yeah, and I heard that too. And, you know, one term I heard too when we're talking about all this data is, again, the fact that the data now is more valuable than anything that we've ever thought about in the past. So there was a lot of breakout sessions and content related to data analytics and things like that. And, you know, speaking of one of our leading experts, and I really do believe he's one of our leading experts in this industry, is a gentleman who's here all the way from the UK, and obviously I think he's probably one of the folks who have traveled the longest, except though there were some Aussies here as well and some folks from Singapore, which was great, is our next guest is Jim McHale from Memori, one of the world's leading research and analyst firm on the planet, especially geared towards our industry, smart, intelligent buildings, OT, and IoT. Jim, please come on and join us.
Dun, 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 dun.
Thanks very much.
Dun, dun.
Welcome, Jim.
Hey, thank you.
Welcome, hey, welcome guys. Again. We appreciate it. So before we really get into some in-depth questions, tell us a little bit about Memori, what you guys do, and those types of things.
Sure. It's pretty simple, really. I think we just try and write interesting, thought-provoking content about smart buildings. Mm-hmm. And that's through articles, through research, through webinars, and to really try and push the boundary of understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Great. I've been to your site many times, and I've gone through automatedbuildings.com to Ken St. Clair's, it is very leading, thought-provoking thought. What is the take on, from the UK perspective, is this show really valuable to you? And is it? Did you feel like you got the cliff notes of technology and what's coming next?
Yeah, it is a really big show, and obviously I like the fact that it's this intersection of commercial real estate and technology, mm-hmm. which is obviously what we're all writing about and what we're all interested in. So I think there's a place to come to meet people mm-hmm. who are also talking about these things and sort of getting a more of an understanding of what technology is on the horizon. It's great. I don't know any other conference mm-hmm. that kind of really marries those two things together like mm-hmm. they do here.
So you obviously attended some of the sessions that we've had here.
Yeah.
In particular, is there one or two in subject areas that really resonated with you, and either that it's a whole new era that we all need to consider, or it was a completely different spin on what you guys see out in the marketplace, or kind of just let it rip, as
sure.
they say.
Okay. I would say my biggest takeaway, I think, was doing a panel on investment.
Mm-hmm.
But it was actually with other people who were more in the real estate side of it.
Mm-hmm.
So, that is actually a world I know very little about, right? This whole kind of ecosystem and all the way from the big companies to the brokers and all of the software that they're using that I actually know very little about,
mm-hmm.
the enterprise
mm-hmm.
stuff of managing this process, the business of leasing property,
mm-hmm.
and how much money's been invested in that. And how they see the whole technology piece, as opposed to me, because we generally write about tech that goes into building.
Sure.
So again, it's really kind of reinforced in my mind the fact that so many different perspectives and players that are involved in commercial buildings.
Mm-hmm. It's good. Mm-hmm.
About
good
how they're constructed and all mm-hmm. the way through to how they're used and how the whole life cycle.
Mm-hmm.
So there's definitely that. You talked about data,
mm-hmm.
And again, that's something that's really on my mind
mm-hmm.
at the moment, because it's great talking about artificial intelligence, but when if you're not collecting data, that's way down the road.
Uh-huh.
So
mm-hmm.
data first, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
It has to be like that.
Absolutely.
And I think the other thing, talking about disconnect, we all know that because there's so many different people involved in this business,
mm-hmm.
a lot of it is fragmented, right? And I think a big thing for me is about how we can get technology further up the food chain, right?
Mm-hmm.
Especially at the design phase.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and we're really only talking about new construction here. We're
sure.
not talking about retrofits.
It's a whole
different
thing. Right.
But with new construction, this is one of the big problems, I think,
mm-hmm.
that, with getting technology into buildings is that it's not talked about early enough.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, as we know, a lot of the time it gets engineered out.
Sure, absolutely.
And we're not going to see some, you know, this really, things really take off from this. I think we actually have somebody advocating for technology, probably on the client side, very early on in the process. So saying maybe you take that as negative or whatever, but I think encouraging things I'm seeing when I'm going around now and talking to people is some end users are enthused, because they're seeing,
good point. Very good.
They're seeing technology as a differentiator for them. But interestingly, not maybe about energy or saving energy. The other, of course, some of the real high tech companies are totally reliant on high skilled stuff. So their big problem for them, how do they retain and find these stuff? And I think they're seeing increasingly real estate as a way to do that, as a way to get people to stay with them and see it as part of this bigger jigsaw.
I have one more question. It's kind of comparing notes. So in other words, we saw how basically in your comment about the specifications, very true and point, very good point. I think that we've got to keep, we have to stop making ourselves our worst enemies, fix the specifications, make sure that there's no silos, especially in these new starts, these buildings. But the transition into one of the big trends that we follow is cybersecurity. And in the first 4 hours of the IBCon was one of the best cybersecurity forums I've ever seen. And Mark, you're a big part of that.
Yeah.
Are we a parallel path here with the UK, or are we kind of fishing in the dark? Do you think, obviously cybersecurity is an important issue in the UK, but do you approach it the same way we are?
And then also, before you answer that question, I know for the last couple of weeks or so, obviously I follow you on LinkedIn and look at your articles and stuff. You've recently written two or three really good articles in and around cybersecurity as related to buildings. And I'd appreciate, after you answer Kenny's question, talk a little bit about, you know, your observations from those pieces.
Sure. Well, we just did a study. We published a report on it. It's trying to sort of focus on cybersecurity in buildings. I mean, what I think my biggest learnings from like looking at this is, like, number one, you know, if it's connected, it's going to get hacked. And like, that's not me saying it, right? That's what I'm hearing from cybersecurity professionals.
Sure.
Like, go and buy an Amazon Web Services server box, right? Fire it up, and they say, like, you'll see within 2 hours there'll be 5,000 people trying to look at it, see if it can get in or anything like that. So it is surprising that if you're going to spend all this money building a building, right, and trying to connect stuff, that you are not going to spend the money on security. That's one thing. So I think we need a more joined up approach to cybersecurity. I think it's too important a subject now. What I mean by that is, of course, you know, if you're providing connected technology in buildings, you've really got to be managing the whole life cycle. You've got to be patching the software. And there are ways to do that. So, you know, we've got to be much more proactive in closing holes when hackers find them. And they will find them.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's what it is.
All right. So again, thanks, Jim, for that the overview here on cybersecurity. And I think one of the other challenges that we have as an industry is to fully admit that cybersecurity is an issue. And yeah, do the cybersecurity instances that have occurred, do they appear in the headlines of USA Today and Wall Street Journal like we've heard, like we've seen on more of the consumer side? They don't. But that does not mean that cyber instances are not occurring and they're not important. So I think that is a key that we have in an industry. One other thing, again, I know, you know, again, you've been in this for a while, and me, one thing I noticed here is not as much focus on energy and sustainability. Did you guys get that same feeling? And I'm not saying they're not important, but I think when we look at today's intelligent buildings, people assume that energy and sustainability are baked in, are going to be part of an intelligent building. And so let me start with you, Kenny.
A very good observation. I do agree with you. We were talking about some conspicuous absences from this show from last year.
Right.
And the emphasis has shifted to use the, we're beating it to death, but the 330-300
right.
metric, where $3 per square foot represents energy savings. Mm-hmm. So if you save 50% of $3, that's $1.50 per square foot. The next metric is your overhead, your cost of your equipment, your furniture, your computers.
Sure.
So if you save there, you save a percentage of $30. But the real money lies in the $300 metric, or as Paul Oswald says, the 10, 100, 1,000, because it's taken from a different perspective. But if you can increase productivity, if you can do stuff with the lights and magic with the heating and air conditioning, and truly make the person connected to it and feel comfortable, they're typically better, they're happier, they're not focused on what's bothering them with the air, I'm not getting enough cooling. Mm-hmm. They're focused on their job, so less absenteeism. So I think you're going to see that more and more. We're going to shift our cannons more towards that 300 metric and give that 300, if you're not doing that $3 metric and providing energy saving, and if you haven't taken a good step towards sustainability, then you probably are missing the boat.
Mm-hmm. And go ahead and comment on that, Jim, and then I've got one other question for you guys.
Sure. Yeah, I absolutely back that up, because, I mean, as what I'm trying to say is, it's about outcomes, not output, right? Mm-hmm. So it's very easy to lose sight of the building. It's like when this business, a lot of the construction business, is just about building more buildings, right? Mm-hmm. Not actually really thinking about what the purpose of that building is and how best to achieve it. And obviously, technology mm-hmm. can really help with that. Mm-hmm. On the energy side, can't really speak too much about the US, but certainly in Europe now, building regs are pretty good, right? They've really sort of stepped that up. So, as you saying, like, it's now new buildings are very energy efficient, and it's almost like that 80-20 rule, right? If you've like if the regs are sort of getting you 80% of the way there anyway, it's that 20% that's really hard to get, right? Do you really need to get that? Do you really need to get there? So I think we're seeing in, not across the board, but like let's just say commercial office, right? This focus, as you said, this kind of shifting of the cannon, moving the cannons more towards productivity and actually, and staff retention.
Well, that was a good lead into this last subject is one of the newer things that I've seen just, and I did get it confirmed a little bit in my observations here at the show, is a new bucket in the world of smart buildings and intelligent buildings. We've talked about the operational side, the IT side, and I'm defining this, and I don't know if it's right or wrong, is workplace technology is now part of this. And when I mean that, that truly is focusing on the comfort of people within a building, their productivity, the worker or the occupant experience. And I've noticed that was, we saw some content presented this year on that, and I think that was a first. Did you happen to sit into one of those or?
Well, yeah, I think that's, again, a general trend across the board is like, to use an analogy, it used to be like stagecoach riding, right? The owners and the occupants were inside the stagecoach, and we were outside running the horses, and they were bumping around inside the stagecoach. Well, now it's changed drivers. Building owners and occupants now are driving the stage, and they're telling us to build the stagecoach that they want. Instead, so what's happening is through the technology that's embedded into a building now or into an office space, a router, and the smartphones, tablets, things that connect people, using social media, we can now get the immediate feedback from a person that's in the space. And if it's all about occupancy happiness, using this new technologies, they're driving new outcomes, like you were saying, not outputs, but outcomes. So people in this building, or this presentation, were showing us how they've responded to that already, showing us new solutions. I thought it was incredible.
And Jim, are you guys seeing it from your bird's eye view on how you guys look at the industry?
Yeah, I think, and again, we've done some work on this. I think you can, if you look at workplace optimization is what I would kind of call it. Actually, there's a lot of things within that as well, even things like space management, which is still important for, companies that have a lot of real estate. I definitely think things like this are gonna drive more technology. The one problem I would say is actually productivity within that kind of office environment, high-skilled environment, really hard to measure. And I don't. And anyone who is going to be able to do that is really going to have a huge impact. But what you can measure are things like quality of light, mm-hmm. as I've talked about, like this kind of circadian rhythm, which we know there's been a lot of research done in that now. Levels of CO2, and we know that affects people's output and things like that. So to that. You know, there are definitely things you can, concrete things mm-hmm. you can do now to improve the environment. It's just how do we measure it going forward? How mm-hmm. can, and we'll get there, I think.
Yeah. So unless you got another question here.
No, but you're absolutely right. And see, you know, it's jogging my memory. In other words, I saw a presentation, and it was came out of Harvard where they have the 9 circles.
Yeah.
So 9 metric criteria to see how well you do with CO2, to see how well you do with humidity, temperature, the air. So you have to get fresh air, but not only fresh air, but how it's modulated in the facility so people aren't disturbed by it. The noise levels. There are 9 factors now that they're going to measure the health and well-being of a space. Incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Well, just one,
go ahead.
One thing on that.
Please.
This, what they call work within the workplace where, not particularly new phenomenon, but I know there's architects working on it in Europe and America where it's like activity-based workplace. So it's actually within that kind of office environment, providing different spaces for different things. Mm-hmm. Because yes, there's a time when you know you want to get together with coworkers mm-hmm. and brainstorm or talk and have a meeting, but there's also a time when you want to be quiet.
Right.
And you want a space for that. So it's what we're seeing is a shift away from that kind of, you know, you have ownership of one space within an office, and it's actually different areas within that office that where you mm-hmm. can do different activities.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's about time we wrap this section up. Again, Jim McHale from Memori. Wait a minute. Tell folks how to get in touch with you and the company.
Very simple. We just website memori.com. That's memori.com. And my email is jim@memori.com. So yeah. Feel free to give me
some email. All right. Our next guest, a long-time stalwart in the industry, and again, delighted to have him here, Rob Murkison, principal and partner of Intelligent Buildings. Rob, come on in, take a load off. Join us.
Dun, dun, dun.
Good, how are you?
I'm doing great.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you. Glad you're here, pal. So, again, you've been part of IBCon and RealCom for basically almost since its beginning, I believe.
The first year.
Oh, the first year. So this year, brand new. Give me your perspective on IBCon, and then I want to talk a little bit about, or Kenny and I want to talk a little bit about some of y'all's perspective now within the industry, trends and things like that.
Sure. Well, I think the conference has always been about the intersection of technology and real estate. And when it first started, it was more about the intersection of back office technologies estate. And with the introduction of IBCon, when was it, 7, 8 years ago?
I think it was about eight years ago.
The conversation turned to technology in the buildings and how that was intersecting mm-hmm. with real estate. What I've seen over the past few years, and it's really highlighted now, is it is all about the data, and I think you're hearing that message. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You're hearing that message from a lot of folks. But now that the realization is that it's about data, there's a couple themes that I'm seeing. First of all, and I think I've heard you talk to several other guests about this, when you talk about data, there's devices that have to produce that data in buildings.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And looking at that data in a way that is an asset for the organization, it becomes a conversation of how do I protect that data, mm-hmm. just like you protect personal information
sure.
data. And I think that this cyber conversation mm-hmm. around data is something that is extremely important to the organization. And I see a shift happening where it used to be, if we're going to have a data-centric conversation, we talk about the data. Mm-hmm. Now I think we're seeing a conversation talking about cyber first mm-hmm. before we get to the data mm-hmm. because there's no way to get to the data without addressing the cyber
right.
component. The second aspect of the cyber is the people that are around that data
right. uh-huh.
and asking the questions of what are you going to do with the data And how are you going to have awareness and education alignment around what the people are going to do with the data? Mm-hmm. So I see those as two big trends now that we've crossed into the world of data-centric, and there's a lot of realization around that. We're seeing a lot of converged backbones and wireless technologies and normalization and standards and so forth. A lot of the pieces are in place, but if you don't address the cyber first, you're never going to get the data out of the building. Mm-hmm. And if you don't address how the people are going to use it in a line of organization, it's not going to scale.
Mm-hmm. So I've been participating at RealCom IBCon for years, and one of the critical things that happens here is your intelligent boot camp.
Yeah.
So you've been conducting that for years here. Tell our viewers, one, what it is, and then number two is, how have you guys changed over the years when you're delivering this intelligent boot camp?
Sure, that it's a great question. So the boot camp is the name says a lot. It's for individuals or organizations inside individuals that are looking to get a beginner look at how to go down the path of intelligent buildings. And what we do is we go over the principles that we have developed over the past 14 years that make sense, such as you need open systems in the buildings. They need to be converged onto a network, and that you need to, in order to do machine-to-machine communications, you need to normalize that data. We go some of that techie talk.
Sure.
We also talk about the idea that it's a cross between buildings and information technology, and we call that OT and IT, and that crossover is very important. But as you heard me say earlier, if you don't address the people component, we say the equation of an intelligent buildings or a smart building is OT, which is the building system,
exactly,
times people, which is the alignment piece, times IT. And if any one of those is zero or close to zero, the resulting value that you get is close to zero. So we talk about the alignment between buildings, people, and technology, in addition to having open systems and convergence around that and the normalization. Now, what we then do is we have some different vendors and manufacturers who are innovating in the fastest areas of these spaces. Mm-hmm. We have them come and talk to the group and talk to them about what they're doing. Mm-hmm. Then in addition, and I think this is really important, this is sort of fun, we have folks that came to the boot camp 5 years ago, and they've gone down the journey. They are coming back as veterans and talking about their experience when they first started and where they're headed now. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really eye-opening to the audience, because they're getting a first-hand perspective. I mean, this is about a forum and a conversation around learning. And the boot camp is a way for folks that are just starting a journey, or is somewhere in the journey and they want to share ideas or get a refresher, they can come there and do that. And we do that at the pre-conference every year before the main RealCom event.
Do you, just one quick, and I'm going to give it to you, Kenny. When I've attended them, they've been wonderful. And again, quick question, sort of a kind of a humorous, is there a test that one has to take? And where can I get those answers?
Oh, gosh, no. There isn't a test, although I think that would be a great idea. You leave with an intelligent building certificate. Certification of some sort. But there is no test. It is a conversation. But we do say that there are 9 words that if we're doing a good job, participants should leave with. And those words, and I've said 6 of those, are open systems, converged, securely converged networks, and a normalization, which means being able to look at the data in the building, machine-machine communications. The second 3 are you have to have you have to be able to look at the 3 pillars, which are buildings, people, and information technology. And you should go about an approach that starts with visibility first. Then move to control. So you want to get visibility in your building systems, then move to control. And then after you go visibility control, put the business policies around that. So open, converge, normalize, buildings, people, technology, and visibility and control and policy. So if there is a test, the test is, do you know those 9 words at the end of the Intelligent Buildings Bootcamp?
That's great. Kenny?
Well, that's part of the magic of listening to Intelligent Buildings, the team they have, because I think one of the first times I came through your booth, and by the way, congratulations on a very successful booth, the location, the traffic. It was hard to get a hold of you guys because you were so busy. And you know, congratulations to Sean and to Fred Gordy, because I think just by hearing how engaged you guys were, you're doing an educational benefit.
Don't forget Tom, because he'll get angry if we don't mention him.
I was coming to Tom Shortcliffe because he was. We watched you two on the RealCom Live, by the way, too, and it was a great session there. So that what I wanted to get at is I actually had to write notes because I had a chance to listen to some of this thing, and that is that you're doing a profound benefit to the industry, and you're showing your leadership. You're one of the few companies that has the one-stop shop type of thing. So as we continue to talk about master systems integrators, we have to talk about consultants and firms that can actually provide A to Z consultancy for anywhere from a city to a global portfolio. So I think that's some of the trying stuff. I think one of the most important things that you all did was the differentiation with Fred Gordy, for instance. He taught a lot of us the difference between IT and OT. IT's bad. If you compromise IT, you screw up everybody's records, and it's really bad, you get sued. And there was one cool thing that came out of that, and they said, if the hackers don't get you, the lawyers will, because of it. So you guys do a very good job of explaining the liability now associated at every level. So, I mean, if you're selling stuff that access, you put your stuff on somebody's network, you now can become culpable. If that gets hacked, you have a responsibility. So it's a shared responsibility. I think also the dialogue across the organization. I don't think people understand, again, how challenging it is to get commitment from an organization. So some of the things you introduced was the starter kits. You start out really basic. But one of the most important things you said, like the nine words, is you need commitment across the organization. So you convert all their disparate opinions and all their disparate desires and create a common dialogue that everyone understands and commits to. And I think that's the key to your success.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I'm going to give you a free marketing idea for you, my friend.
Well, thanks,
so
Mark.
Based on those nine words, I think next year when you do the boot camp again, you decide whatever order that you bring that in the boot camp, you have those four or five words on the front of a T-shirt and then the other words on the back, and have the audience wear them and then turn them as you address those nine key words. So there's your free marketing concept. You're welcome. You're welcome. Let's kind of just turn, if you don't mind, to industry trends. Okay, you guys are, you always look at the trends at the forefront. What do you see really, going into 2018? What do you think is the most important trend that, whether you're a system integrator or you're a building owner or an operator or you're a technology provider, is there one or two common trends that this entire universe, the collaborative community we have, should be aware of or be looking at?
Well, that's a great question. First of all, we have another half a year in 2017, well, right?
Okay.
I think the biggest trend, and there are a couple of things that I will say precipitate from that, is the availability of low-cost sensoring. Mm-hmm. Sensoring is in a lot of ways, I haven't read this somewhere, and your guest earlier probably has done the research
right.
on it. But it follows Moore's Law, mm-hmm. and that the Moore's Law was every 18-month technology. Mm-hmm. I think they change it every two years now or something like that. But every 18 months, technology halves in price mm-hmm. and doubles mm-hmm. in speed. And that's what's happening with sensoring. That's, mm-hmm. the cost of the sensoring is coming down, and the ability to take things like looking at occupancy and air quality mm-hmm. and humidity and sound, and now even CO2, all that sensoring mm-hmm. and getting that combined, mm-hmm. and it's providing data mm-hmm. that organizations now can put in at a relatively low cost and low risk,
right, absolutely.
And not have to have identified what all the practical applications mm-hmm. of that are going to mm-hmm. be. So sensoring, I think, is something that is changing right now because the cost point is coming down so dramatically.
Well, just real quickly on that, do you also think the world of IoT is helping drive that importance of the sensors?
Oh, absolutely. And sensoring, I think, is a subset of me of IoT. But the idea that you can go and sensor for few dollars, mm-hmm. I mean, literally a few dollars,
sure.
tens of dollars, you can put the sensoring in there, is creating a data-rich environment in a building. And this is really, to me, especially from an integrator community perspective, is to understand that maybe what is needed in some cases in order to get a smart building program going, considering that people are extremely important part of that equation, I talked about earlier of buildings, people times technology,
right,
can't have
right,
zero,
right.
Is that get the use sensoring to get data flowing out of a building before you attempt an integration effort.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can do that, you can build business cases so that the organization can see the benefit of getting one of those nine words I talked about, visibility first.
Mm-hmm.
You may not have control, but at least get the visibility first so that the organization can now take action, because it's a, if you're around the floor of RealCom, and many of your viewers may not have heard this, obviously, is there is a big theme here is that there's lots of really cool technologies,
mm-hmm.
but you gotta take action.
Absolutely.
And if you don't take action, you don't get results. And by doing sensoring,
mm-hmm.
you can get visibility into what's going on in the building. You may not have to have the control capabilities, but that visibility is something that's extremely important. And it also allows you to test the cybersecurity aspect
mm-hmm.
of things, because if you have devices that are producing mm-hmm. data without an integration effort initially, you can at least test the cyber piece and you have data flowing so you can learn how to take actions and then figure out where you're going to focus on the investments on the integration side of a smart building.
To the testament there, Rob, two things. One is, I remember last year, you guys, your big takeaway was water, how water was being introduced now into the big picture, you know, as a very important utility. It was becoming scarcer, and yet had more stringent requirements and greater responsibility. So I remember that being one of the takeaways last year. And I really believe what you're saying about the sensor being down to the point where, you know, it's something that you need to take advantage of. But another thing I saw introduced with sensors now, it's just an automatic that these things now on people or sensors.
Yeah, exactly.
And so every time I took a look around, I was seeing not only was it the physical sensor that may or may not be located where it was traditionally on the wall, it might be up in the lights now, but the inclusion of the human smart sensor for not just, you know, are you happy, what's your input, are you need cooling or heating, and you can, you know, respond with a smart integration there, but also zoning. That the exact location, in many cases in our buildings, we used to rely on occupancies and schedules, and it's not reliable. It was the best of its breed at the time, but now that technology has improved, you know, leaps and bounds forward, so that they're saying that not only do you start cutting back on your chiller, you know, or your supply temperatures are starting to, you know, you can, because everybody leaves early on Friday, so you can take advantage of, you know, start planning 3:30 is when you want to. So some of those trends, I think, are just literally. Presenting the information to people, and that call to action is so critical. You're right, because here we are sitting there, we're talking about the technology being there. Eric and I attended a very interesting luncheon where the guy said, we can build your dream,
mm-hmm.
we can sell your dream, and now we need people to work that dream,
mm-hmm.
but you got to move, you got to dream.
Good advice. Anything else? You know, let's kind of wrap this one up as well, because I don't know about you, but it's cocktail time. And it's been a long day for several days for several of us. Just a little bit again for the audience, you know, tell us a little bit about intelligent buildings and how to get a hold of you guys, and go from there.
Thank you, Mark. Well, intelligent buildings, you've been put in a nutshell, we're a professional services firm that helps simplify the journey of an intelligent building. So we've been in this space for 14 years. And we have seen, we've seen a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen what works and what doesn't work. And over those 14 years, we've developed a methodology that,
mm-hmm.
that allows folks to start at different spots, but advance down the same path. So in the nutshell, we don't represent any manufacturers. We don't resell products.
Mm-hmm.
We simply are a professional services firm that help people simplify and therefore accelerate their journey, taking the risk out of going into intelligent buildings. You can reach us at intelligentbuildings.com. You can reach me at rob@intelligentbuildings.com. As you can tell, I'm pretty excited and passionate
Absolutely.
About this.
Absolutely.
I'd give you my cell phone, but my business partner probably wouldn't like that,
that
idea. But you know, please reach out, and I would love to continue the conversation.
Great. Thanks, Rob. Appreciate
it, man.
Be bold and stand. Kenny, indeed.